fatigue. If you noticed, people are kind of done putting hearts in their windows, putting teddy bears out for scavenger hunts, writing messages to healthcare professionals and putting them out on their lawns.
Mm-hmm.
Health officials say the growing impatience is a new challenge as they try to slow the latest outbreak, and it threatens to exacerbate what they fear is turning into, or will turn into, a devastating autumn. But a similar phenomenon is sending off alarms across Europe right now, and probably will come here as well, and that's pandemic fatigue. If the spring was characterized by horror, the fall has become an odd mix of resignation and heedlessness. People who once would not leave their homes are now considering dining indoors for the first time. Some losing patience after so many months without, others slipping in a fancy meal before the looming winter months where it's going to get worse. People still wearing masks to support their neighbors and keep others safe, but the sidewalks that were decorated with chalk messages and encouragements and others at Easter are now bare by Halloween.
There's only so much. There's only so much goodwill we can handle as a species.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're right. There were a lot of signs about, you know, supporting, you know, medical professionals and, you know, talking about how they're heroes and all this other stuff. Yeah, we've moved on to other things now.
Well,
I mean, you're still heroes. You're still important people. You're still
sure.
You know, you're still essential personnel. But
absolutely.
You know, the signs we put up back in March have fallen apart.
And it's not unlike, say, 9/11, you know, when we came on the air on the 12th and talked about things like who knows how long it'll be before we laugh again, who knows when it's going to be okay to have fun. You know, obviously that was a single day that resonated for a very long time. This is now almost three quarters of a year with no end in sight. So residents that willingly banded together in the spring now are giving to frustration and revolt. In the Czech Republic, this is kind of interesting, in the Czech Republic, a politically divided nation, people met the initial order to shelter at home in the spring with an unusual show of unity. They began a national mask-sewing campaign recognized around the world for its ingenuity. Back then, confidence in the government was at 86%. Since then, support for the government has plummeted, and they are now experiencing the fastest increase in cases in Europe. And, you know, we're not going to be much different. I mean, there were a lot of people back in March and April who were buying into what the government was saying about the virus. Now, unfortunately, you've got the top guy trashing the top infection specialist, you know, in speeches and calling them idiots.
Right. And yet,
so the confidence is going to be lost.
And yet, if you've been listening to Dr. Fauci the entire time, what he has predicted has come true. And that
yes.
If we don't, you know, take this seriously, it's going to come back in the fall and whip us all over again. And
mm-hmm.
That's starting to happen. So, you know, I mean, I understand the fatigue. Believe me, there's like everybody else, I've got my own very personal issues with this that I'm not going to get into. But I also know that if I, for whatever reason, stop taking this seriously and stop wearing a mask and stop, you know, sheltering, stop, you know, increase my circle of social activity, I'm only hurting myself and everybody I care about. So
mm-hmm.
Now is the time to really buckle down. Now is the time to take it seriously. And for all the people that have, for whatever reason, refused to take it seriously, let this be a lesson to you. We need to start taking this seriously.
Well, but unfortunately, again, when the people we look to for leadership are not the ones that are taking it seriously, it makes it a little bit harder for the rest of us to do so as well. And, you know, Dr. Fauci, for the people who say, well, Fauci doesn't know what he's talking about because in the beginning he said masks were bad and then he said they were good. No, what he said was in the beginning he didn't want everybody running out and getting masks so that they then became a shortage for the people who really needed them. And then as the disease progressed, as the pandemic progressed, and people were being saved by masks, it became, and we were also getting more of them because people were making them, it became more important that we as civilians were wearing masks as well as our healthcare professionals did too. Alcohol sales, we've talked about this before, up 23% during the pandemic, which is believed to be a reflection of both the nation's anxiety as well as the drop in business of restaurants and bars. So people were knowing, you know, look, I can't go to the bar tonight. I might as well get trashed at home.
But you know what? It's weird because even though that is true, I find that for whatever reason, I'm actually drinking less than I used
to. What kind of an American are you?
I know. It's kind of counterintuitive, and you think, yeah, with all the booze I have in my house, and mm-hmm. I've got my share, that we'd be going through a hell of a lot more of it than we are. That's not to say we're not having a drink once in a while, but we're...
Once in a while?
But even if we have a drink, it's like one drink, maybe two. We're not getting trashed. We're just not doing it.
Disgust me. How are you fighting this? How are you showing your solidarity with this country?
By wearing my mask and staying out of everybody's way.
Oh, please.
That's kind of what's been asked of me, and I've done it.
You can take the mask off long enough to have yourself a drink.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I necessarily have to get stewed in order to be compliant with everybody.
Make it sound like it's a bad thing.
Well, sometimes, believe it or not, the more alcohol you drink, the worse your body responds to it.
Oh, that's an old wives' tale.
Is it? Is it? Look at me.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, listen.
I'm sure the alcohol industry, the package stores could not be happier.
I'm sure that's true. But for whatever reason, it's just not where I want to go to. I mean, we are all in our own situation. We are all dealing with it. We are all struggling with it. We're all trying to figure out how we want to proceed.
But we are all tired of it.
Absolutely. But as I've said from the beginning, we should be listening to the scientists here mm-hmm. rather than the politicians who are motivated by a lot of other things than just the health and safety of people. You know, when Dr. Fauci tells you, wear the mask, I'm going to listen to that guy a little bit more than I'm going to listen to an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is what he has predicted has more or less happened. He's pretty much been right.
How those scientists have such a good grasp of science.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, I wouldn't go to him if I had a plumbing issue or if I was looking for a recipe for soup. But if I wanted to find out how to stay alive during a pandemic, I'm probably going to listen to him than somebody else.
You know what? I bet Fauci makes a very good soup.
I have no doubt.
I don't know what kind.
But I would only be speculating for his soup-making abilities, whereas his knowledge of epidemiology and pandemics, that's kind of the guy I'm going to go to because he is an expert in that field. If he were to say, I know about infectious disease, but I make a hell of a bouillabaisse, I'm going to say, well, let's see the recipe. But I'm not. Other than that, I'm just going to follow him for the medical advice.
I'm gonna shift topics because I just saw something on the Today Show that was very cool. They're talking about, again, with the pandemic, Halloween safety. So they're showing all of these alternative methods that people are using or planning to use. And I don't know how many people have them already set to go on what? Well, it's October 21st. We really have only a little over a week left anyway.
A week from Saturday.
But they were showing these people who have different ways of giving children candy. And many of them had like man-made chutes. There was one guy who was standing on his second floor landing, and he had a chute that went all the way down to the front lawn so that the trick-or-treaters could line up separately, obviously, distanced, and the guy would drop candy into the chute from the second floor, and it would go all the way down this chute to the kid, and then the kid would take it. There was another family that basically had a clothesline.
It seems pretty elaborate.
Oh, they all were. They were all very elaborate. Another family had like a clothesline, and they would put the candy in the basket and then run the clothesline so that the basket went out to the sidewalk, and then the kid would take the candy from the basket, and then the homeowners would retrieve it. They had another one with a drone. Somebody was dropping candy with a drone. And then another one built like a robot that came out of the garage with a tray full of candy, and it would travel down the length of the driveway to the kids, who would then take the candy off the tray. It's amazing how much people put into Halloween.
Yeah, I don't expect that in my neighborhood.
I saw something like this for Christmas last year. Somebody had it in their lawn, but this was even cooler for Halloween. They're gravestones that you can put all over your lawn that have little screens on them, and they're all playing like little horror movie loops.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether it's a 30-second loop or a 60-second loop.
Yeah, I saw that.
I never saw those before. I saw the Christmas one. But I never saw this yard had probably 10 of them in the front yard, all playing little horror movie loops. That's actually very cool.
Yeah. Again, what do each one of these things cost you?
Oh, I know.
And to have 10 of them.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, if maybe I get one, but you know, I'm not likely to do that.
I told you like a month and a half ago when I was in a Home Depot and I saw this 12-foot skeleton. It was, I believe, $200, and it had illuminated eyes, or LED eyes, and it's supposedly like the biggest hit. It's one of the biggest hits of this Halloween, a 12-foot human skeleton.
For $200.
Yeah, that you obviously have to take apart, put together. First of all, you have to assemble it just to put it out on your front lawn. Then take it apart and store it somewhere for the rest of the year. But it's higher than a professional basketball hoop.
Ridiculous.
Right out on the front lawn.
It's 8:23 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Halloween is going to be different this year. So what? That doesn't mean...
Nag one and it's HeretFord.com.
It's 8:27 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
I forgot to mention this last week. I read this after we had talked about it on the air. That project they started on Sunday of renaming all of the renumbering all the highway exits around the state so that they were mileage based instead of just numerically, and we talked a little bit about the really small highways like the ones out here in Western Mass. Turns out I read later in the day they're not doing it on 291 and 391. Those will not change.
Why not?
Too small. Too small. Who cares?
I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, I would think that those in particular would be like the very last two that would ever get changed.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they're not even going to bother.
Then, okay, yeah, all right. Well, then why go through the hassle of changing anything if you're not going to change all of it?
Yeah, because once again, Western Mass gets the short shrift. And since we've got the shortest, probably the two shortest interstate highways in the state between 291 and 391, they're just like, we really would only need like 12 more signs.
If this thing I thought was like a benefit to us, I'd say, okay, that's maddening. But I don't really see much of a difference.
Yeah.
It's like at the end of the day, what difference does it make? I mean, if you spent your entire lifetime focused on a sequential system of exit numbers, you're probably used to it.
Yeah. And it's not even sequential. I mean, that's the weird thing, too. You go 91 North to 391 North, the first exit off of 391 North is exit 2. Who decided that? How was that decided?
It's the first exit.
It's not exit 1.
The article, I don't know if you just mentioned this or not, because I was sort of paying attention, but the article last week mentioned of those highways, the 391 and 291, they were already set up for those mileage things anyway.
That's why the first one is exit 2.
2, yeah.
No way.
Well, it's
that can't be true.
No, that's not two miles from the beginning.
No, they said it was the closest it can be to mileage points on 391.
Really?
That's what I was. So in other words,
Yeah, but exit 3 is not 3 miles in.
No, it's a lot. It's more than that.
It's a lot less.
Is it?
Barely a mile and a half.
Oh, no, probably. I think you're right. You're right.
Listen,
the state is, the feds are trying to confuse us all by switching to this this whole thing. I'd be perfectly happy.
The state's the one that decides, nah, we're not going to do it to those two little highways. Those are like driveways.
Well, because right now they're thinking, listen, that's a 391, 291, the least of our concerns.
But are those interchange things that, what do you call them? Loops? What do you call them? The I-91, 290, or 291, 391. What do you call them?
I don't even know what they're called.
Little highways.
Yeah, but are they regulated by the interstate highway system, or are they regulated by the state? Because if the state doesn't have the money to pay for it, and the interstate system is paying for those other ones.
You're asking questions of idiots. I mean, how are we supposed to know the answer?
Are they interstate or intrastate? Yeah. They probably are state run. But, you know, meanwhile, we can pay for all the construction that we're doing on 391 right now. And then next year, supposedly resurfacing it. But no, we don't have an extra $6 for those signs.
Oh, you got money for paving 391, but you don't have the money for signs, huh?
It's like a fake mustache.
It's 8:30 at Rock 102.
I'm 3 months into this awesome pre-owned vehicle I got from Leah Toyota of Abraham. That's right, I went over and saw my...
See dealer for details.
It's 8:34 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. It's time for news brought to you by Table and Vine for the best deals in town on beer, wine, spirits. Great selection and expert advice. You'll only find at Table and Vine, Riverdale Street in West Springfield, or at tableandvine.com. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Sí, señor.
A Cincinnati man is facing assault and unlawful weapons charges early Tuesday at the Holiday Inn Express on State Street after he reportedly threatened the desk clerk with guns during an argument that began after he was accused of smoking in his smoke-free room.
You know, for something so stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Did you say he's charged with illegal guns, too?
Yeah, assault and unlawful weapons, yep.
Unlawful weapons, okay. So the guy, you know, the first thing you wonder is, what's a guy from Cincinnati doing in Springfield? What's he here for?
Basketball Hall of Fame.
Maybe he's here for the Big E and disappointed to find out it was canceled.
Well, he didn't do his homework then, did he? But you come all the way from Cincinnati to Springfield. You bring a gun for whatever reason, or who knows, maybe he bought it when he got to Springfield. Now you're under arrest. You're going to be held in jail for who knows how long. Probably whoever your other person are, whoever the other people are waiting for you, whether it's a wife, a girlfriend, a family, you know, to come back to Cincinnati by, say, the weekend. And now you're going to be stuck in jail probably for the whole weekend, if not longer.
Yeah. You know what?
I can't imagine that.
And he was living on the air in Cincinnati.
And, well, I don't know about that, but, you know, who knows what the parking costs at the Holiday Inn. And now his car's going to be stuck there for how many days? Never mind the fact he probably didn't check out.
That place would have a lot of balls to charge for parking.
Well, I don't even know where you park for that place. It must be on or over at the Civic Center.
Wait, I don't understand. I don't even know where this is on State Street.
It is right across from the Civic Center.
Maybe I've just never seen it.
It doesn't stand out. It blends in with the buildings on State Street. Mm-hmm. I believe it might even be where that McDonald's was. If not, it's one or two buildings over from it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it's literally right across the street from the... from a Civic Center.
And there's no parking garage, and I'm not aware of any alleyways that take you into parking lots behind the building, so you're probably parking over at the Civic Center or at MGM.
Isn't there a lot across the street, too? A garage across the street?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the Civic Center.
No. Not the one on the other side of the building. This one would be on, was it Chestnut? Isn't that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 36-year-old
lady.
Look
at me telling you where to park downtown. Like, I need to tell you.
Nah.
Anyway, 36-year-old Eddie Payne is facing multiple charges. Police spokesman Ryan Walsh said, my best friend's sister's boyfriend's girlfriend heard from this guy who's dating this girl that saw this guy pull two guns out because he was smoking in his room last night at the Holiday Inn. I guess it's pretty serious.
How old is he?
36.
Yeah.
Ryan Walsh, I don't know. He's probably...
No, I
think he just turned 40.
Concerned. Yeah. The hotel clerk reported getting into an argument with Payne, and as it grew heated, Payne pulled out two handguns and then pointed them at the clerk.
One in each hand or two in the same hand?
I don't know. I think he's ambidextrous.
You'd have to be.
Yeah. The clerk began fighting with Payne, and it spilled out of the lobby and into the street where another guest was unloading items from his car. What is it? What is that song?
Which thing?
Spilled into the street. Was it? I think it was A Boy Named Sue from Johnny Cash.
Oh, I don't.
Fighting and the gouging and the mud and the blood and the beer.
I'm still hung up on the him being from Cincinnati. You know, getting tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial.
Yeah, I know you're still stuck on that.
So I am.
A little earworm is in your head now.
Now I'm going to be singing it all day, thanks to you.
You're welcome.
But radio people aren't coming to Springfield. They're leaving.
Very quickly, too.
Mm-hmm.
Payne reportedly pointed his gun at the clerk was able to wrestle away one of Payne's guns and handed it to the other guest.
He wrestles away one of the guns, and the guy doesn't use the other gun to shoot. He's got two guns in his hands. The clerk wrestles away one, and then I love the fact that he hands it off to a bystander who then could have very well either held the gun on the suspect.
Well, the other guest was a retired sheriff's deputy, so maybe he already knew that when he was checking him in.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Walsh said the fight originally began as a dispute about Payne smoking in his room. The hotel does not allow smoking in rooms or any common areas inside the hotel.
Well, and apparently they're very serious about it. They're willing to get into a fracas like this.
The whole thing sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It must have been like theater of the absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Here, take this gun.
And it's also one of these things like, you know, the guy came down to the counter and, I mean, how did they discover that he was smoking in his room? Did somebody report him?
Somebody confronted him about it. If so, maybe another guest of the hotel complained.
Housekeeping.
I'll tell you what, though, this is why I don't get involved in these kinds of things. I can remember once, it was years ago, staying at a hotel, and right outside my room in the hallway. It wasn't a motel; it was a hotel. And in the hallway, right outside my room, was a guy who obviously had gotten into some kind of domestic argument with his wife in the next room, and she threw him out. So he's out in the hallway screaming and yelling at her and, you know, banging on the door to get in. And I called the front desk and told him to call the cops. You know, I'm not stepping out there. I'm always surprised by people who are willing to take things into their own hands with complete strangers. You just don't know anymore. The guy's got two guns.
You can't trust nobody.
No.
Yeah, I don't get involved. No.
And then the cops came out. It probably took 25 minutes till the cops came out. And then the cops just kind of like talk to the guy. And then they leave. And they leave him there. He spent the night sleeping outside the room in the hallway.
You said hotel, not motel, right?
Right. It was a hotel because this was all inside.
But everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You see, if your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I just kind of kept it to myself.
Look, I'm just trying to add some pep to the show.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're doing.
I'm bringing B-plus material today, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday was an A game. Yeah, today, B-plus, I think it's perfectly fine. Well, as long as you don't go below C-minus, I think we're okay.
I was a little tired. I was up late last night, so, you know, I can't only bring a B-plus today.
Yeah, you're lucky to get a C-minus tomorrow.
The A-plus games because you spent the night at a Holiday Inn Express.
That's right. A member of the Ludlow High School has tested positive A member of the Ludlow High School? You mean a student?
Well, they don't know. I don't think they're releasing whether it's a student or a staff member.
Has tested positive for COVID-19 and contact tracing is underway, officials confirmed yesterday evening in an email sent to the Ludlow High School community. Public school superintendent Todd Gazda did not identify the individual.
Todd Gack. I believe it's Dutch.
I was going to say, the Dutch.
The individual said they are following all safety guidelines issued by the Department of Public Health. The school is also teaming up with local health officials to complete contact tracing. Gazda stated in the email, "We have been anticipating the scenario and have a comprehensive plan in place. We will be contacting persons who are considered close contacts to these individuals so that they are aware of the necessary steps to quarantine as well as where they can go to be tested."
So is it contact tracing or contract tracing?
Contact.
Contact.
Yeah.
So here's the thing I can't figure out. We went on that trip on the Mohawk Trail last week, stopped at the restaurant at the Hairpin Turn, and we sat outside, so again, social distanced, and then they asked for one member of each table to fill out this contact tracing thing.
Right.
But, I mean, if the people didn't live together, then why are you not getting the information of either everybody?
Because if they contact that one person on the list that there was exposure the day they were there, they can call the people that they were with rather than have it all be on the restaurant.
I suppose.
I mean, that makes
sense. But then again, you know, also, how do they know you're writing a real name down?
They don't. They don't. Or a real phone number, because, I mean, you provide a name and a phone number. Have either one of you guys done the exposure notifications on your phone?
No.
I'm not sure I want to do it. I mean, it's basically...
Don't you sign up for it?
Well, I mean, I can, you know, it says, you know, turn on exposure notifications, you know, to kind of amplify the contact tracing stuff. So if you're near somebody who's got it...
Is that an app or an iOS?
It's a new addition within your settings.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't update it yet, so I probably won't get it.
Yeah. Right, so it's
I have it set to availability alerts.
I got that, but then turn on exposure notifications.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah, if you turn them on, your public health authority can notify you of possible exposure to COVID-19. iPhone is not collecting or sharing exposing notification data with anyone. If you turn on the notifications, information related to your exposure can only be shared with your permission.
I remember about 8 years ago, I downloaded the cancer notification alert. Never went off.
Today is Wednesday, October 21st. You have cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thanks. I've had it for 8 years. Thank you, Apple.
Yeah, but the day it says you no longer have cancer, that's a good day.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
I'm surprised they don't do that with more diseases now. Like, you think they're going to be doing that with other stuff, like the flu?
How about sexually transmitted diseases? Let's say you're with somebody new that you met on Bumble, and she is sprouting with an angry, angry case of gonorrhea.
They all just start popping up in your contacts.
Right.
You know, people you've known for years that you're not even sexually involved with. Oh, my God. Jimmy's grandmother's got chlamydia? Jesus. Got a FaceTime her.
I knew she was a hoe, but I didn't think she was that bad.
Hey, Jim, how's the Hep C treating you?
What are you talking about? Says it right here on the app.
Your grandmother showed up on my phone.
They should be up. Find my friend's diseases. Yeah. That's what it should be.
And then, Mike Baxendale likes this.
Yes, I do. Well, I like to know who's got what and when and how active it is.
Those are the kind of people you don't want on your Farmville game. The ones that all have diseases.
No, probably not.
Who the hell is still playing Farmville?
I just saw a meme about that. Was I haven't logged into my Farmville in 10 years, and I opened it up, and there's a meth lab is being run inside of the abandoned building, and all the animals are dead.
And the only friend you have on it is Hayden K. Smith, who you were told not to befriend 3 years ago.
A new study came out that says it's basically totally safe to fly. The study was funded by the airlines and other companies directly associated with the industry like Boeing, and some experts say it's using flawed data. It's perfectly safe.
I saw this on the news the other night, and you know what they were saying was that if the airlines enforce the mask rule and the way the airflow is circulated through the airplane, that you are safer sitting in an airplane than you are walking through a grocery store. But the problem is, this does not address the airport. So as you're sitting around many, many more people in the airport than you would be sitting around on the airplane, you know, it's nice to know you're safe on the plane, but you still got to, you know, you might be there for a two-hour flight and you might be there 2 hours early. So you're spending almost as much time in the airport as you are on the plane. But they did say, you know, this one study I saw, probably the one you're talking about, Steve, did say that the number of people who are flying and getting COVID are very, very low.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out the fact that the airlines, you know, funded
the whole paid for thing.
Yeah. Mouthwash and baby shampoo are both extremely effective ways to kill coronavirus particles. So if you're quarantining because you may have been exposed to coronavirus, using them is one of the extra steps you can take to keep other people safe.
Just don't confuse the two. You don't want to freshen your breath with baby shampoo.
Well, they don't really specify should you mix the two together. It says mouthwash and baby shampoo are extremely effective ways to kill coronavirus. That would sound like you mix a shot of each.
I don't think you want to be ingesting baby shampoo, even if it's mixed with a chaser.
Well, no tears on the baby shampoo.
If you eat that stuff, you'll have tears.
I don't know if you know that or not.
I'm not sure. How is baby shampoo supposed to help you?
It's antibacterial.
But again, how are you? Is this like ingesting yourself, like injecting yourself with cleaner?
No.
With bleach?
I think it's just like washing yourself with it. That's what this article is saying. You wash you wash down with it, you're going to kill the COVID particles.
Right.
It's just another way to cut down. It doesn't cure anything. It's not saying it cures anything. It just says it's cutting down on the, you know, so you can reduce the spread.
So babies aren't getting it.
No, babies are not getting it. No.
Right.
Let's see. There's a 26-year-old man named Nathan Garisto in Largo, Florida. He was drunk on Monday and got into an argument with his 29-year-old girlfriend. And at one point, he picked up a pumpkin that someone had apparently been carving and threw the pumpkin and its innards at her. Fortunately, he missed with the pumpkin, but he didn't miss with the innards. And when the police got there, the report says the woman was, quote, covered in pumpkin seeds and pulp. Nathan was arrested for misdemeanor battery.
She wasn't injured by the pulp and innards.
Good thing his name wasn't Peter.
No, right. But it's still assault. It's still battery.
I guess.
If you throw something at somebody.
Again, with no details, I'm imagining that somebody in the room is gutting a pumpkin. And an argument breaks out between Peter and his girlfriend. And, you know, maybe the people gutting the pumpkin are taking the guts out and putting them on a newspaper on a tabletop somewhere. And then the argument breaks out and Nathan reaches over and grabs the guts of the pumpkin that's already been removed from the pumpkin and uses that to throw it at the woman. And she's still got it on her by the time the cops are. Somebody probably told her, don't wash it off.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you pick up the phone and dial 911, I think the last thing you're worried about is washing off all the stuff that was just thrown at you.
Well, but when you put the phone down and you know the police are on the way, then I can see where you might want to clean yourself off a little bit, unless they're still in the throes of the fight.
I'm guessing this man has a drinking problem.
I think he's got a pumpkin problem.
Yeah, right.
You can't just throw a perfectly good pumpkin innards away.
The innards are getting thrown away anyhow.
Why are you supposed to make pumpkin pie?
Not everyone, believe me. I carved and gutted a lot of pumpkins as a child, and my mother never made a single pumpkin pie.
That is one of those things that I did like as a child and now hate it as an adult.
Pumpkin pie?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't stand pumpkin pie.
I love pumpkin pie.
Gross.
By the way, almost nobody makes pumpkin pie with actual pumpkins anymore.
I like a good strawberry rhubarb.
Yeah, pie. That's a good one. But, you know, I mean, most people make it with the canned stuff, which, by the way, isn't even really pumpkin. It's squash.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm telling you, canned pumpkin is mostly squash.
Now, if you were making it from the stuff on the inside of the pumpkin, is it actually the innards that you're scooping out?
No.
Or is it the meaty portion of the inside of the pumpkin?
It's the meaty portion inside the pumpkin.
Yeah.
But it's labor intensive, so people typically use the stuff in the can, and it's squash. It's the same kind of spices you would use. Yeah, that you would use with the actual flesh of the pumpkin and the stuff that's already in the can. So why are you going through the hassle of boiling down the flesh of a pumpkin when opening up a can takes a quick minute?
That's how you liquefy it? You boil it down?
You're not really, you're softening it up. You're not really liquefying it.
That sounds like a big pain.
Yeah.
It's
a big pain. For a disgusting tasting pie.
No, it's delicious. Ugh.
Ugh. Your Pioneer Valley forecast today, mostly cloudy, chance of some showers this afternoon with a high of 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 73. It is 61 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102.
Aw, yeah.
Car keys, remotes, and fobs. Oh, my.
Car keys, remotes, and fobs. Oh, my.
Don't be afraid. At Serview Locksmiths, they cut them, program them, and replace remote.